Grab your Bible. It's time for Reading the Word with Justin Reed, the minister at the Arlington Church of Christ on Faulkner Springs Road. Now here's Justin.
If you would, for just a moment, I want you to take your mind, stop whatever you're thinking about, and push out every negative thought in your mind. You know, the world that we live in wants us to only focus on the negative. Everything around us is bad news this, it's bad news that. Yet every time I read through the scriptures, if I'm doing what God has said to do, I'm filled with positive news. Now, if I'm not doing what the Bible says, it's bad news for me and I need to change that. For just a few moments, I want us to talk about how I can live positively. Because really what I have noticed is in most situations in life, you have a choice of you want to look at it on the good side or you want to look at it on the bad side. You got to go through the situation regardless, but you can either do it with a smile on your face or with a frown. I want us to figure out how we can live positively. Go with me, number one, to the book of Colossians. Colossians chapter 3. We've got a handful of these. They won't take too long. But Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. Number one, how to live positively. I need to focus on eternity. Number one, I need to focus on eternity. Notice what Paul says to the church in Colossae, the third chapter, first four verses. He says, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek the things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above and not on things of the earth, for you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, shall appear, then you shall also appear with him in glory. Number one, if I want to live positively, I must focus on eternity. Because this world is not my home, I'm just a passing through. And so I need to make sure that I have laid up treasures in heaven, not treasures on this earth where things do corrupt. I need to be focusing on the hereafter. And I believe you're doing that because you're here with us as we study God's Word. But at the same time, it's real easy because the world wants you to only think about the here and now. What is a temporary fix, a temporary hit, a temporary solve to the problem? No, number one, if I want to live positively, I need to be focused on the bigger picture. Focus on eternity. Number two, go back to the book of Mark, if you will. Mark chapter 12 and verse number 30. How to live positively? I need to love God constantly. If I want to live positively, I need to focus all my efforts on the continual love and service of God. Notice what Jesus says, and he says this also in Matthew, but I wanted to pick up on Mark's translation here. Luke will pick it up to a degree as well. But Jesus is asked the question, which is the greatest commandment? And he answers and said, Hear, O Israel, verse 29, the Lord our God is one God. Notice, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all of thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength. This is the first, number one commandment. Heart, soul, mind, and strength. Well, to me, that means everything I have at all times is dedicated to the service of God. So if I want to live positively, I need to make sure I'm serving Him constantly. And that includes when it's easy to serve Him, because there are days when it is easier. And that includes when it's harder to serve Him, because there are days where Satan tries his hardest to get you and I to not serve Him. Regardless of Satan's tries and trials, we should always serve God constantly. That's number two. Number three, how to live positively. Go over to Ephesians chapter 1, if you will, and verse 14. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 14. How to live positively? I need to trust the guarantee. I need to trust the guarantee. Notice what Paul says, and the whole theme behind the book of Ephesians is unity. Unity among the brethren. Unity one with Christ. Notice here, he's just talked about trusting in Christ in whom you have trusted. You've heard the word of the truth, the gospel. You've believed that. You were sealed. Now notice, which is the earnest of our inheritance unto the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. What does he mean there in earnest? Another way that could be rendered, that is the guarantee. The money put up front to guarantee something's going to be there. An earnest payment, if you will. See, if I want to live positively, I've got to trust in the guarantee. What's that? If I'm faithful to him, if I am obedient, hear verse 13, if I hear, am obedient, continue to live for him, I die faithful in the Lord, what's my guarantee? Home in heaven. So that will help me live positively because I'm going to be focused on that and I'm not going to be focused on the negative. You know, businesses, they give you a money-back guarantee. You buy meat from Walmart or Kroger, it's not right. The package says, bring it back, we'll make it right. That's our guarantee. You might could do that, and that's a hassle, because they're going to play 20,000 questions with you. But see, with God, it's no hassle. His guarantee, you hear me, you believe, you obey, are faithful, boom, eternal life. So if I want to live positively, I've got to trust the guarantee. Number four. And by the way, if you haven't noticed, all our keywords rhyme.
Reading the Word is hosted by Justin Reed, the minister at the Arlington Church of Christ in McMinnville. The building is located at 2500 Faulkner Springs Road, just 1.2 miles off 70 on the right. Join us for Sunday worship at 9 a.m., Sunday school at 10 a.m., and worship at 11 a.m. with midweek Bible study Wednesday at 7 p.m.
Number four, what do I need to do? Flip over a book, maybe to Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. Number four, how do I live positively? I need to live in harmony. If I want to live positively, I need to live in harmony. Notice here what Paul says to the church at Philippi. Let nothing be done through strife or through vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. See, I must live in harmony with the brethren. Now, are there going to be differences in matters of opinion? Yes. Maybe you want the auditorium at a certain degree. Somebody else wants it at a different degree. This, that, or the other. But those really don't matter in the scheme of redemption. But we need to live in harmony. The elders set forth what we do. According to Scripture, we abide by that. We live in harmony. How good it is when the brethren dwell together in unity. If we're all unified, if we're all in harmony, it's a whole lot easier to live positively. But see, people, when they're out of sync, when they're unharmonious, that's when division comes. That's when people stop living positively. Then they're just looking for anything, any nitpick reason whatsoever. I mean, it would just amaze you to sit down and study why some churches have split. My favorite frivolous example is I know of a congregation that split, or have heard of it, on whether they should have a cloth covering over the Lord's Supper table. That's petty. I'm going to tell you now, that's petty. Their soul's at stake. They weren't living in harmony. Something else was wrong, and that was the straw that broke the camel's back. See, if I want to live positively, I've got to live in harmony. Let's move on. Number five, go to the book of John, chapter 8, and verse number 32. If I want to live positively, I must live in liberty. I must live in liberty. John 8, 32, can you quote it? Jesus is speaking. He says, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. And they're going to say, oh, wait, the word liberty is not in that verse. No, but free is. And freedom is liberty to do basically whatever you want to. And so if I want to live positively, I've got to live in liberty. See, before I obey the gospel, I'm living in sin. I'm living with shackles of sin that are weighing me down every moment. But in Christ, knowing the truth, being obedient, I'm set free from that. So I need to live like I've been set free. Dear Christian friend, God has forgiven you. If you truly repented of your sins, God has forgiven you of that. So quit living in the past. Quit trying to drag all those burdens with you. He said he'll forget them. So why are you hanging on to them? I need to live in liberty. Number six, go to 2 Timothy 2. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 21. How to live positively? I need to practice surgery. I had to make the words rhyme. I need to practice surgery. Notice here, I'm not talking about actual surgery at the hospital. 2 Timothy 2 and 21. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, prepared unto every good work. He has just talked about before in verse 16 some things that we are to shun. For instance, profane, vain babblings. Just going on and on and on. Nothing that promotes unity. Nothing that promotes growth. He talks about these things that we need to purge from ourselves. But isn't surgery just purging something from your body? You have tonsils surgery. They've purged those from your body. You have wisdom teeth taken out. They purge that from your body. Cancer surgery. They purge the cancer from your... See where I'm going? We as Christians must practice surgery on ourselves. There are things in our life that if I want to be pleasing to God, as Paul says in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 5, I must mortify, I must put to death certain things. So if I want to live positively, if I will kill the negative things in my life, then they can't grow back. I'm not feeding them. I'm taking them out of my body completely. But number 7, and our final one, how can I live positively? Go to Hebrews chapter 10. And verse 25. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 25. I need to not be an absentee. How to live positively? I need to not be an absentee. The Hebrew writer says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. The hallmark passage on church attendance, right? I must attend. I must assemble. I must not be an absentee. I tell you what, that's why I love Wednesday night. It's not my favorite day of worship. Of course, that's Sunday, that's the Lord's Day. But I've always loved Wednesday night for the sole reason it's time in the middle of the week where I can assemble with like-minded brethren, smile, enjoy each other's company, and worship God and learn more about Him. But you know what? When I'm absent, I don't get those privileges. When I'm absent on Sunday, I don't get to partake of the Lord's Supper. I don't get to sing. I don't get to pray. I don't get to give. I don't get to hear God's Word be taught. So I don't need to be an absentee. How can I live positively? 7 simple, really simple things. I need to focus on eternity. Love God constantly. Trust the guarantee, which is a guarantee not found in the world. I need to live in harmony, live in liberty, practice surgery, and not be an absentee. And that's the positive side of things. What's the negative? If you don't do these things, you won't live positively. You're living a life of sin. It's not going to work out for you if you leave this earth in that state, dear friend. I'd encourage you not to do that. And always try to find the positive in every situation. If we can help you in any way at all, whatever that need is tonight, we humbly ask you, let it be known while we stand and while we sing.
This has been Reading the Word with Justin Reed, the minister at the Arlington Church of Christ on Faulkner Springs Road in McMinnville.
From the International Gospel Hour, this is 60 Seconds for the Savior, and I'm Jeff Archie. Thinking about an article, Rearing Your Children for Christ, please note this suggestion. Teach them that lying is one of the worst things they could ever do, Revelation 21:8. And punish them firmly if they do, Proverbs 29:15-17. Revelation 21:8 speaks of liars burning in the lake of fire and brimstone. That's horrendous, friends. But Proverbs 29:15-17 says, the rod and rebuke give wisdom, but a child left to himself brings shame to his mother. When the wicked are multiplied, transgression increases, but the righteous will see their fall. Correct your son, and he will give you rest. Yes, he will give delight to your soul. Dear friends, I always tell young people, never ever lie. Always tell the truth. Visit us at internationalgospelhour.com. Thanks for taking 60 seconds for the Savior. Have a good day. From the International Gospel Hour, this is 60 Seconds for the Savior. I am Jeff Archie. Have you ever thought that God's Word is the bread of life? When Jesus was tempted by the devil in Matthew 4 and verse 4, Jesus told him, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. That is what we are to feed off of, the Word of God. Later in John 6:35, Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger. He who believes in me shall never thirst. Jesus told us spiritually we will not hunger nor thirst if we will but come to Him to be obedient to His will and His way. Let us make certain that we are feeding on the bread of life, Jesus Christ. Visit us at internationalgospelhour.com, dear friends. And as always, thanks for taking 60 seconds for the Savior, and we hope you have a good day.